1 John chapter 3, I'll begin reading in verse 11 through 24. This evening's sermon is going to be from verses 19 through 24. This is God's word. Pay attention. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. As far as the reading of God's word, let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for blessing us with your holy word. We do pray you add your blessing to the reading and preaching of your word. We need it to grow as your people. We need your grace. We pray that you feed us now by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Doubt, uncertainty, hesitation, fear, suspicion, skepticism, stumbling, misgiving, reluctance, wavering, faltering. Have you ever questioned your faith? Have you ever asked yourself, am I a Christian? Am I saved? Have you ever wrestled with assurance? Have you been filled with doubt? How do you know that you're saved? How do you really know that you are a child of God? How do you really know that you know that you're not just a make-believer? Doubt is a very real problem for the Christian, a dark temptation that plagues many believers at different times and with differing degrees of severity. In our passage this evening, John addresses the issue of doubt. He has just finished a powerful exhortation to you to love one another sacrificially based on the sacrificial love of Christ. He said in verse 16, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." It is in the true and sure love of Christ that you find your true assurance of salvation in Christ. Now he pauses once again in this letter for the purpose of reassuring you of your faith in Christ and addressing the difficult and painful problem of doubt. As we immerse ourselves in this passage tonight, we will see that you are to be reassured of your salvation in Christ, and we will deal with doubt under the following 3 points. The first being no condemnation. No condemnation. The second being no confidence. Now, but just using alliteration, it's actually K-N-O-W. No confidence. Having the knowledge of confidence. And the third being knowing communion. Having the knowledge of communion. The first point we see in verses 19 through 20, no condemnation. John refocuses here on the main theme of this letter, true assurance of the Christian faith. He says in verses 19 through 20, "By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and He knows everything." James Montgomery Boyce comments on this text, "This self-condemnation can be due to any number of factors. It can be a matter of disposition. Some people are just more introspective and melancholy than others. It may be a question of health. How a person feels inevitably affects how he thinks. It may be due to specific sin. It may be due to circumstances. But whatever the cause, the problem is a real one and is quite widespread." Christian philosopher William Lane Craig writes, "Any Christian who is intellectually engaged and reflecting about his faith will inevitably face the problem of doubt. At times you may identify with the father who brought his demon-possessed child to Jesus to be healed in Mark 9:24, and who cried out to Jesus saying, 'I believe, help my unbelief.' However, John says here, 'By this you shall know that you are of the truth.' You can know with great certainty that you are a Christian, that you are God's beloved child. At times your heart does condemn you. It becomes filled with doubt. As we've already seen from Dr. Boyce, this can happen for many different reasons in different seasons of your life. If you're struggling with besetting sin, if you have fallen into great sin, the very fact that you are living in contrary to God's will should cause you to question the genuineness of your faith. When you look at your life and say, 'I am not doing what God wants me to be doing, and I'm living in rebellious sin,' that should cause you to question the genuineness of your faith. When we turn away from Christ in our lives, that invites doubt. Think of Peter's circumstances when Jesus called him to walk on the water with him in Matthew 14. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, 'Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?'" Maybe you are struggling with something difficult and painful in your life, and you have allowed yourself to question God's goodness, His grace, His mercy and love because of suffering in your life or in the life of a loved one. You have taken your eyes off of Christ and not trusted Him to provide everything for you. Or maybe you've experienced a challenge to your faith by a non-Christian who wants to win you over to their own skewed worldview. If you are struggling with doubt, it is because you are human. However, there is hope in the midst of your struggle. John says, for whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. Though you may be ready to condemn yourself, to set yourself up as the judge over your own soul and sentence yourself to hell, though your heart is overcome with doubt and your faith may falter, God comes to you and says through the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." Whether or not you are condemned or justified does not lay in your hands. John says, God is greater than your heart, and He knows everything. He knows who His children are. He knows the name of every one of His beloved elect, and He knows whom He has justified, declared to be righteous, based on the merits of His Son, Jesus. Paul continues in Romans 8, saying, "Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Though your heart may seek to condemn you, it cannot undo your justification. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus your Lord. If your heart condemns you for a guilty conscience, then confess your sin, repent, and serve Christ with all of your heart. No matter how far you fall, He is always heartily willing and ready to forgive your sin. There is no sin so great that Christ's blood cannot atone for it. You are not saved by your works. None of us can be good enough in that sense to merit eternal life. You are saved by Christ's work alone. And there is no sinner so great that He cannot save them. There is no condemnation for you in Christ. And that brings us to our second point, that you are called to know confidence in Christ. Verses 21 through 23. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He has commanded us. Though at times your heart will condemn you, you will struggle with a guilty conscience, the hope is always to return to Christ and clear your conscience through repentance and faith, to live with confidence in the great salvation that you have in Christ. We read in Hebrews chapter 9, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Hebrews chapter 10. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. This confidence drives you to greater love and fellowship with God. He is faithful, and so you should draw near to Him and approach His throne in heaven. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 3 that in Christ we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him. John says when we approach God, whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. Do you believe this? Do you believe that the Lord listens to and answers your prayers? John is only echoing here what Jesus said Himself many times. John chapter 14, Jesus says, whatever you ask in My name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask Me anything in My name, I will do it. Jesus says in John chapter 16, truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in My name, He will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in My name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Matthew chapter 21. In the morning, as He was returning to the city, He became hungry, Jesus. And seeing a fig tree by the wayside, He went to it and found nothing on it, but only leaves. And He said to it, may no fruit ever come from you again. And the fig tree withered at once. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How did the fig tree wither at once? And Jesus answered them, Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Jesus says that you are to bring your prayers in faith, free from doubt. True faith really can move mountains because it trusts completely in the will of Him who made the mountains and in whom everything lives and moves and has its being. Now, John isn't saying that God only answers prayer as a reward for your obedience. That's not the point he's making. But rather, you obey him out of love and gratitude, and it pleases him to answer the prayers of his children. In his timing, according to his will. It's important to remember that making requests of the Lord is only one small part of prayer. And it's the part that we see here in our passage. However, for many Christians, that's all they think about when it comes to prayer. Your prayers need to be filled with worship as you glorify the Lord's name back to Him, praise Him, confess your sins, thank Him for His many blessings and mercies. You should not be selfish or self-centered in your prayer, just as we should not be self-centered in our worship. Our worship seeks to honor and glorify the Lord, and our prayer should be the same way, seeking His glory. Now, kids, I want you to pay attention here especially. What is prayer? What is prayer? You guys have any idea? Speaking to God, talking to God, communicating with God, our Heavenly Father. The Children's Catechism, question 109, says, Prayer is praising God, giving thanks for all His blessings, and asking Him for the things He has promised in the Bible. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, 98, says, Prayer is an offering up of our desires to God for things agreeable to His will, in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins, and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. Now, kids, when you pray, does God hear you? Does He listen to you when you pray? If you believe that God, who is in charge of the whole universe, listens to you when you pray, then that makes your prayers very important, doesn't it? Think so? Do you know that God never gets tired of listening to your prayer? He never gets tired. Even if you prayed the same thing over and over and over again, He loves to listen to your prayer. But remember, prayer is not just asking God for things like we just talked about. You need to praise God in your prayer for who He is as your Father. You need to thank Him for all that He has done. He is the Creator of the whole world. That He is our holy and loving God. Praise Him. Confess your sins to Him. Ask forgiveness for your sins. Thank Him for the many blessings He gives you. And then you can bring to Him your requests. But when you ask for things from the Lord, remember to pray for God's blessings on others. It's not just about yourself. Pray for your family, your friends, your neighbors, your church family, for our leaders, and pray for the Lord to save the lost. Know that when you pray to the Lord, He answers your prayers. And whatever He answers is always what's best for us. The Lord listens to and answers your prayer as His people. And so you are called to pray to Him with confidence. He will never turn you away. He will never turn a deaf ear to you. The Lord delights to listen to the prayers of His children, just as you delight to keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And so, how does He call you to live as His people? How does He call you to honor Him? We read in verse 23, "And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He has commanded us." God provides what He commands for His children. His commandment is to believe in the name of Jesus, His Son. But we read in Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." The faith that God requires of you for your justification is the faith that He provides to you by the work of His Spirit. And flowing out of your faith will be a life that evidences the fruit of the Spirit, seen especially in your love for one another. Now, having spent our last sermon on the previous text focusing on that, we're not going to rehash everything there. But John has already mentioned this commandment to love the brethren and stressed it heavily. He brings it up here again, over and over and over again, the importance of loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. We read in John chapter 15 what Jesus says. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." If Christ had not sacrificed Himself for you, if He had not borne the punishment for your sin, lived, died, and rose again from the dead for your justification, if He had not sent His Holy Spirit to give you a new heart and a new life, then you would have no desire to love Him, to honor Him, and to trust in Him completely for salvation, and to love your family in Christ. Only in Christ can you truly know with confidence that you are saved from your sin. This brings us to our third point, our final point, that in Christ you know communion with God by His Spirit. You know communion. We read in verse 24, "Whoever keeps His commandment abides in Him and He in them. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us." Your entire life is bound up in the person and work of Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. However, you have absolutely no access to Christ except through the Holy Spirit who lives in you. If you don't have the Spirit, you don't have Christ. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ." Apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, you cannot have true faith in Christ. You cannot be brought into subjection to God's will. You cannot truly believe in the name of Jesus or have true love for the brethren. When you struggle with doubt, know that apart from the Spirit's work, you would be without hope. You cannot do any of these things on your own. And so when you see the evidence of the Spirit's work in your life, it is reassurance for you that your faith in Christ is genuine. Through the Spirit's work, you are united to Christ in such a way that you abide in Him and He abides in you. It is a great mystery how the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, can take up residence inside God's people. He literally dwells in you. Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit in John 14:17, saying, "You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are the temple." The Spirit serves as a seal of your salvation in Christ. Not only does he apply to you the benefits of salvation in his work of regenerating your heart and sanctifying you as he causes you to grow as a Christian, he is the guarantee of your full inheritance in Christ stored up for you in glory. Paul says in Ephesians 1, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." And in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, "He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight." Through the Spirit's work, you are assured that you are saved in Christ. You know true communion with Christ and with his body, the church. Though doubts may rise up in your heart, don't allow them to remain. You must struggle against doubt by fleeing to Christ. Flee to him in his word, the primary means of grace, where you read the truth of the gospel. Be quick to ask for prayer when you struggle with doubt. Listen to the strong language used by James in James chapter 1. "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." And so as you go into this week seeking to serve the Lord, pray to the Father with confidence that he is who he says he is. And he will do what he has promised to do for you in Jesus through the power of his Holy Spirit. Remember that in Christ you are not condemned, but you are justified by grace through faith alone, based on Christ's perfect merit alone. As a child of God, you have full confidence to come to the Lord in prayer. You know he has the power to do all things according to his perfect will, and that he loves to bless his children. God has never given you a reason to doubt him, because he is always faithful. In your new life in the Spirit, you know true communion with Christ and with his body. Love one another, care for one another, do what is right and good to one another. This pleases and glorifies God. Reach out to those who struggle and build them up in the faith. Listen to Jude chapter 1, verse 20. "But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire." Have mercy on those who doubt. Build yourselves up in the faith. Reach out to those who struggle And when you struggle, reach out for help. May your trust in what God has revealed to you in His Word expel any doubts from your heart so that you can serve Him and love Him in full confidence with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we confess that often we do struggle with doubt, whether a small nagging doubt in the back of our minds that causes us fear and discomfort, or a crisis of faith in which we really do struggle with darkness. Father, we pray that You increase our confidence and who we are as Your children in Christ. Father, help us to focus on the truth that when our hearts condemn us, You are greater than our hearts and You know all things. That You are the only judge of Your people. Father, when we struggle with a guilty conscience, by Your grace, bring us to repentance and faith and greater faithfulness to You as Your people. And Father, may we all have mercy on those who doubt, that we all may seek to build one another up in love and in greater confidence of who we are as Your children. And Father, may we pray to You with confidence, knowing that You have told us You delight to answer our prayers, and that whatever we ask in faith, we will receive from Your hand. May we trust in You more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn with me to hymn number 600.